again on this Friday morning. What a beautiful Friday it is. How's everybody doing out there? Hope you're enjoying yourself as much as I am, as I got you for 5 hours, all the way to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. We got Nick on the other side, Zoo just walking in now. He'll be with us for the next five as we take your calls at 888-808-1019. And the trade deadline is in the books. And before we get strictly to Brian Cashman, because yesterday was a lot about the flowers of David Stearns, and well-deserved. And both of these teams entering the deadline in slightly different situations, and I talked about this yesterday, slightly different situations, but still both with the mandate of winning a championship and both with needs. I feel like the Mets were looking to just tweak things, get things a little bit better, figure out that bullpen, get another outfielder as they did today with Mullins. They get the two relievers in Rogers and Helsley yesterday, or Wednesday. And they have shored some things up. That bullpen now at the back end with the three-headed monster of Diaz, Rogers, and Helsley, that is as good as it gets. You add Mullins, it's an improvement, right? A lot of talk about Luis Roberts. Maybe there's some more, you know, high ceiling with a Roberts, but Mullins plays an excellent defense. He got hot to start. You know, he's been with the lousy Baltimore Orioles. Maybe coming over to the New York Mets could get him going. We have seen times where he is an excellent baseball player, and he struggled offensively for a while, but that is a good move. It's an upgrade for the New York Mets. They do what they need to do. I think it was an extremely positive trade deadline for both teams, and specifically the New York Mets there, as we talked about this mainly yesterday with the two bullpen moves. And now they are set as one of the top teams in the National League to go chase a championship. The New York Yankees, on the other hand, look to the trade deadline as desperation. An oasis of the first 100 games in the desert. And we looked at this deadline for both teams, but specifically the Yankees, because it wasn't about, the Mets were looking to retool. The Mets were looking to add a couple arms to the bullpen, and I wasn't sure how aggressive they were going to be, and Stearns answered with very aggressive. But the New York Yankees were looking to fill holes to be functional. A team and a roster that seemed, you know, let's be honest, third base, you were waiting for the deadline the entire season. They chose not to attack it at the beginning in the offseason, and you knew they were looking to the trade deadline. And we've already discussed McMahon. We've seen him walk off wins already, playing a great third base, coming up clutch, already off to a great start to his Yankee tenure. But they were looking to fill this roster, completely shift it, completely change it, still in pivot mode off of last year's team and the losing of Juan Soto, and trying to figure out what this group is, who this group is. Why there's a pair of pants hanging here, I don't know, but it's threw me off for a second. The pair of pants hanging in here. Sorry. But as you're trying to, like, salvage the roster, reshape it, retool it, make it functional, as they've been terrible now for a month with a similar record to the Rockies and the White Sox. We all know it. They've been terrible. And you look at the roster, it's like, well, you got three catchers, you got three first basemen, you got 17 outfielders, you have no one on the left side, you've got of the infield, you got Volpe throwing balls in the dirt. The bullpen is a complete mess, and heading into the day, as every other team was addressing it, the Mets, clearly, right here in town, putting pressure on Brian Cashman, going out and getting the Rogers and the Helsley, as I was talking about. You look around baseball, all the other moves that were happening. I happen to, you know, my sleep schedule. I drop off the kids, or at least attempt to, at camp, but it's raining, and it's an outside day camp, so they cancel camp on me. I'm with the kids. I can't sleep for a while. I have to wait until my mother is available to watch the kids. The last thing I see is that the San Diego Padres, who already have the best bullpen in baseball, make a huge move and trade for Mason Miller and give up the third best prospect in baseball. The third best for a reliever. And yes, he throws 100 miles an hour. And yes, he's controlled for the next 3 years or 4 years even. And I was talking about the Yankees being out there willing to trade a Dominguez or whatever to get him. But the third top prospect in baseball for a relief pitcher? I went to bed at like 11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon thinking, forget this. Look at the market. Look at what's happened. Look at the price that the Mets paid for Rodgers. And we talked about that. It's a little bit of an overpay. Still worth it, and I love the move. But that's for a rental reliever, that's a lot. And you see some of the stuff that's going on, the third reliever in baseball for an arm like Mason Miller. And I'm like, oh, man, Brian Cashman doesn't want to trade these guys. I don't know if they're all in with this team. So much about that. Oh, well, they'll buy, but it'll be a soft buy. And nothing's happening, and everybody's tweeting out, Cashman's asleep, and I'm starting to doubt myself as a Cashman shill. Should I reconsider what I actually think? Should I reconsider the idea that I believe in this man? I've put myself out there on a limb for Brian Cashman. I take shrapnel all day long trying to defend Brian Cashman, and I don't think he's going to do what he needs to do. And then I wake up, and I wake up to a new world, Yankee fans. And that might be a little bit hyperbole, but that's what it felt like. As the New York Yankees not only address every single issue, now it might not be with the highest of talents, it might not be with the Mason Millers, or it might not be with the greatest of relievers, but Bednar is one of the best relievers in baseball. He's been up and down. He was even sent down last year, but he's had he's perfecting saves, a 23 straight inning scoreless streak. He is one of the better relievers in baseball. So you get him. You get Jake Bird, who, let's be honest, he's had a miserable July, but a good arm. And someone who's going to help the depth of this bullpen that is just an absolute disaster. And then at the very end, right as you thought that would be the final move, you get Duvall, the closer from San Francisco, who throws 100 miles an hour. And you look at what they have now, the ability of what they have, and then you throw in Caballero, someone who we'll get to it as a little bit, as we talk about what to do with Anthony Volpe. And what do we do with Anthony Volpe? You can't continue to throw him out there, but yet he's hitting. And what do? Do you bench him? Do you send him down to the minors? Well, how about you put a little fire under his ass and bring in someone who can actually play the position in Caballero? Let's see how Anthony Volpe responds to the idea that there is not just Peraza sitting there, who may be the worst hitter in all of baseball and who the Yankees shipped to the Angels. Like, there's a legitimate player right now who is an excellent defender in Caballero, and we know him well as Yankee fans, watching how pesky he is as a Ray. But you bring in him. You've completely revamped this team. Think of the players. They add McMahon to play third, Rosario and Slater as right-handed options off the bench. Then they bring in Caballero, and then they add to the bullpen with Bednar, Bird, and Duvall. That is a massive, massive trade deadline that has completely reshaped this entire roster. Reshaped it while the offense is out there proving they necessarily don't need Aaron Judge to score runs, taking 3 of 4 for the Rays, coming back in extra inning win last night or two nights ago, showing resiliency. Today, getting out from the jump. They're now 4-2 in the 6 games they've played without Aaron Judge. You've got Stanton hit home runs. We've seen the rise of Cody Bellinger. And you look at this team and you look at this roster, and you think to yourself, okay, who in the American League is clearly better? They've struggled. They've had their issues. There's sloppy baseball. There's a shortstop who keeps throwing the ball into the dirt. But the bullpen was an absolute disaster with an ERA over 6. They've added 3 new arms and 2 legitimate back end of the bullpen arms that have experience closing games. Both of them over 90 saves over their career. And now you look at this bullpen and you have Williams, you have Weaver, you have Bednar, you have Duvall, all have closing experience. Any one of them can get you big outs at the end of the game. You're getting back Luis Gil on Sunday to add to the starting rotation, and that's the one knock, is you didn't add another starter. And you look at it and you say to yourself, okay, well, Fried is Fried. You know, Rodon's had a great year, but you still have the issues of trusting him in a big start. And now you're relying on, you know, Luis Gil coming back and being a starter, the same caliber he was last year, winning Rookie of the Year. You've obviously got Will Warren, who outside of 2 miserable starts has had a really, really nice to borderline excellent rookie season. You got Marcus Stroman, who we saw in the game yesterday, and you say to yourself, is that a starting rotation that screams World Series team? And no, it doesn't. But this bullpen now and what they've been able to accomplish and the depth of it and what they did yesterday, And not only that, you want to talk about Brian Cashman and his unwillingness, right, to prospect hug and his unwillingness to trade and make bold moves. And Brian Cashman never is aggressive and he always settles for this and settles for that. Well, I don't know about you, but we see that this farm system is clearly, clearly deeper and better than what we get from MLB Pipeline and from all the detractors and all the haters and all the Yankees farm system's gross, it's at the bottom of the league, it's this and that. They were able to do everything they have done, impact their bench, impact their third base, impact the back end of the bullpen, and all of it outside of Rosario and Slater come with guys who are under control, have years that are still going to help the New York Yankees. They do it without moving any of their big names. In fact, it costs the 8th and 10th prospects. That's it. So no one in the top 7, only 2 in the top 10, and they have completely, as we see other teams, trade big, the third best prospect in baseball for Mason Miller. And while Mason Miller, I do believe, is better than anyone the Yankees got, how much better? His ERA is around 3. How much better? They were able to get and reshape their roster with players who were under control, and they did it without moving any of the big names, any of the Jason Dominguez, Lombard Jr., Spencer Jones, Ben Rice, who went deep in yesterday's game. They are still filled with young talent. It took 2 guys from the top 10, none from the top 5. And they have completely reshaped their team. And a lot of the names they gave up as you wait for the end of the deadline, as we're all, you know, screaming Brian Cashman is asleep at the wheel, he waited till the bitter end and got good deals. He got good deals for legitimate bullpen guys. And this team, leaving this series that has won now 3 of 4 against Tampa, they are 3.5 games back of the Toronto Blue Jays. They are still the lead team in the wild card, and they have completely revamped who they are. Their bullpen has 4 legitimate closers and is much deeper. The bench went from Ascara and Peraza and Vivas to Rosario, Slater, Caballero. Now, one of them is going to have to make way for Aaron Judge, hopefully, when he comes back from the IL at the beginning of next week. At least that's what it sounds like, the plan. But that is a completely different bench. That is a completely different team. They were able to get McMahon, who's been better than anyone could have anticipated. It's been a week, less than that. We'll see. But to get started, he has done an incredible job. We see how great he is defensively. He's already come up with big hits, including already his first walk-off hit as a New York Yankee. And just everything around the team feels completely different. And for a trade deadline that we have talked about over and over again. Now, the Yankees weren't alone. The Mets weren't even alone. A lot of teams went out and made impacts. The trade deadline was far better and far more impactful than many of us were wondering what it would be. With the new playoff format, with the idea that, you know, it's not pushed back enough, they should move it back, people haven't declared themselves sellers or buyers, and we were very concerned as a Yankee fan, and rightfully so, so was I, and that's why I was screaming for third base at the start of the year, to enter the trade deadline with as many needs and as many holes as the New York Yankees entered the trade deadline with. It felt like an unachievable task. It felt like something Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees organization and farm system, was going to be unable to go out there and make a significant upgrade to this roster. And whatever you think of it, and I'm sure I'm going to get his detractors at 888-808-1019, don't bring up the last 15 years because that's a different argument. You want to? Go ahead. We can have that discussion, I suppose. But if you look at how they entered this trade deadline and you knew at the offseason that they were going to play a huge role in the trade deadline and that they were going to have to impact the trade deadline, and they enter it and we're not sure what it's going to feel like, how many teams are even sellers, it's going to be a huge seller's market, and the New York Yankees and Brian Cashman went into it, added 7 impact players that has transformed the bench, third base, and the bullpen. And he did it without moving any significant pieces for the future. I don't know how anyone can objectively look at what Brian Cashman just did and not tell you it is a fantastic trade deadline. Fantastic. We'll see how it plays out. We all know it's about winning. You got to find out if Judge is healthy. Maybe some of these guys come over here and don't figure it out. We've seen relievers come here. We've talked about it with Devin Williams. Who knows? You put Bednar on the mound, ninth inning, Yankee Stadium. Maybe he's not built for it. There's only one way to find out. But on paper, this bullpen is transformed. This bench is transformed. This roster is completely transformed and fits and feels so much better. They even went out and got the possible backup shortstop to Anthony Volpe. Got someone who can give him some time off. Got someone who, if he continues to throw balls in the dirt, can play for him. And I think that's how they've chosen to handle this. You could send him down, you could bench him, or you can make a trade and signal to Anthony Volpe, get your crap together, because we can't function with a shortstop who can't make throws. And now we have a legitimate option of someone else we can play. It was a fantastic deadline for the New York Yankees and Brian Cashman. And yes, they could have went out and got a starter, but you look at the starting market. The Mets were looking for a starter too, unable to do so. Not a lot of starters moved. Ryan didn't move, although it looked like for a second there he was going to Boston. Not a lot of starters ended up getting traded. So he pivoted and got the extra back end of the bullpen guy. And we have seen teams, whether it be the Kansas City Royals in 2015, whether it be the Dodgers last year, who load up on bullpen and try and win that way. And now you turn to Luis Gil on Sunday and look at him as right now the most impactful player on this roster and deciding how this rotation is going to go. He's either going to be really good down the stretch and make us feel a hell of a lot better, or he's going to struggle as someone coming back from a massive injury, missing almost, three quarters of the year, trying to find himself, and now you're not so sure about the starting rotation. So by no means does this make the Yankees the favorite to win the World Series. I know many of you are probably sitting in your car right now listening, oh, this fat guy's telling me that they're going to win the World Series right now. No, that's not what I'm saying. They have made themselves significantly better, and they've done it without jeopardizing the future, and almost every move they've brought in are guys of control. As Weaver is not under control, and who knows if he'll be back next year, and Williams is not under control, and I would suspect he's not going to be back next year. The Yankees have brought in two guys who not only could close right now if either of those pitchers don't pitch well, but can take those roles next year. That is as good a job Brian Cashman's had at a trade deadline in a long time. There is no doubt about it. It was an impressive day for the New York Yankees. And we talked a lot about it yesterday. I don't want to make Met fans think I'm leaving them out, but we gave David Flowers, he made those two moves yesterday. Mullins is a nice piece to add to the center field situation they've got going on, and hopefully that rotation at third base will settle itself out and some of these kids will step up and emerge as the front runner. But Mullins helps a lot, and what they've done to solidify the back end of their bullpen, I mean, you could argue it's better than the back three for the New York Yankees. I don't think there's any, you can, with the way Diaz is pitched, you can absolutely make that case. And with the Padres, what they've done, their bullpen is tops. But the Yankees went from a bullpen that you felt like had no answers to a bullpen that has four legitimate ones. And a lot more depth as we wait for the return of Leiter and Cruz. It is a huge trade deadline for both New York teams, and we'll take your calls on it over the next 4.5 hours. Get ready. It's Brian Cashman Shill Day. And I anticipate on being a part of it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So we'll take some calls. We'll have some fun. Obviously, a lot of stuff coming from Giant Camp is both the morning show and the afternoon show. We're live there all day. A certain someone's requesting a trade that impacts the Giants. We'll get to that. Obviously, the New York Knicks bring back their man, sign him to an extension. We'll get to that as well. So plenty to get to. McMonagle here with you on The Fan as I got you all the way to 5 o'clock, 888-808-1019. We'll come right back. I'm going to try and figure out whose pants these are, And then we're going to come back and take your phone calls. 888-808-1019. They look small. I'm guessing loogie. But I have no idea why there's a pair of pants hanging in here. 888-808-1019. We'll come right back. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So we usually do themed Fridays, especially when Zoo's in town. So we do it on Saturdays, too, obviously, with Zoo. So we're going to do a little wrestling theme stuff. We had the wrestlers in. Triple H was on. Cody was in. And it's SummerSlam. I'm taking the boys. Looking forward to it on Saturday. So we'll have a little wrestling theme. Plus, who's more obnoxious and boisterous and braggadocious? All right, let me put the thesaurus away. Who's more of those things than a professional wrestler? And today I get to do it. Because listen, they have to win the World Series. We know that. But you got to take your wins where you can. I'm a Brian Cashman guy. I've been a Brian Cashman guy for a long time. Brian Cashman had a great day. You could try and call me up and tell me otherwise. Good luck. You're not going to win today. You're going to end up going. Well, Gene Stick Michael built the dynasty teams. What the hell is that's where you're going to revert to. If you try and actually have a conversation about this trade deadline, that's where if you're an anti Brian Cashman guy, that's where you're going. You're going to haven't won a championship since 2009. It took $1 billion in that offseason just to get that. He didn't actually build the championship teams. Like, that's where you're going to go. Because you can't, you can't argue with today. Doesn't mean he's put together a World Series roster. You don't like the idea that it took 7 trades at the deadline to revamp the whole thing. They have still played lousy baseball and beating the lousy Rays, who are literally giving them their players mid-game. You know, they're literally shipping over their best. No, I shouldn't say best. Shipping over, you know, guys who can impact the Yankees, and Caballero, who leads the American League in stolen bases. He can run. He can defend. He plays outfield. He plays infield. He is a excellent little piece for the New York Yankees. So beating the Rays, who are literally giving them players mid-series, 3 out of 4, isn't anything to crow about. And I didn't about that. It's good to win 3 out of 4. They're keeping pace. But the roster's completely revamped. The bullpen is completely revamped. And Brian Cashman did it all without trading any big names that any of us really care about. Excellent job from Brian Cashman this trade deadline. One of his best. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you have to go back to 2000. David Justice will always be the cream of the crop because he literally carried them to a championship, their third championship in 2000. That's the biggest impact move Brian Cashman's ever made at the trade deadline. We'll see if we have those same kind of feelings about this one because, again, this thing is wide open. And we'll get to Carlos Correa going to the Astros, and I'll give you my opinion on that. I can just tell you this. I love it. I love that he's back with the Astros. Love it. We'll get into that later. 888-808-1019. As I said, there's other things to do. And still, listen, I know I did a lot of Yankees yesterday for 4 hours, did a lot of Mets. All right, but it is a trade deadline success for both teams. So Met fans, please, 888-808-1019, the addition of Mullins, the bullpen that they revamped as well, the three-headed monster that they've created. Rogers has an ERA under 2. Helsley is a legitimate closer in St. Louis. Plus, you have arguably the best closer in baseball already in Diaz. It is a massive day and a huge deadline for both New York franchises as they get ready to chase down a championship. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. David out in San Diego. What's up, David?
Hey, Chris. I'm here to report I went to 2 of the games this week at Petco, and I'd like to tell you how many Met fans were there, but it's hard to report that considering after the Vientos Grand Slam Monday night, I think I calculated the Mets were outscored 18-2, and you really couldn't hear many Met fans after that Grand Slam because it wasn't really much to cheer about.
No, it was an ugly 3-game set, especially after the sweep from San Francisco. They get to take on the Giants again now starting tonight. The Giants have traded away a bunch of bullpen pieces, so should be a series that the Mets look to try and take another 3. But, yeah, it wasn't a great 3 days in San Diego. But still in first place, you move on.
Yes. We're happy the White Sox beat the Phillies twice.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I know.
Getting swept by the Padres sucks. The Padres are a legitimate team. The Padres just made their bullpen fantastic, and they've got a chance to do anything. The White Sox are miserable. How are the Phillies losing to the White Sox?
I don't know. But I completely agree. The bullpen is the way to go with the postseason. They're used so much more. Obviously, that's where the game is heading from starters to bullpen. When you evaluate a trade deadline and what a team does, you have to look at who else was moved. There weren't any other really big starters
moved.
There weren't any other big position players moved. So you have to evaluate who you got based on who was actually out there. I also root for the Red Sox, and you know they were trying to get Joe Ryan, who wasn't moved. So you don't actually know what the price for him would have been from the Twins, even though they were unloading everybody. I want to make a quick Alonso point, and then a real quick 20-second New York Giant football point, even though we're on baseball.
Sure, go ahead.
On Alonso, I saw on Twitter somebody analyzed his stats from the time he got hit on the hand. I think it was like June 11th or June 14th, and it's gone completely down Hill since then. So I don't know whether I should commend him for his bravery of maybe playing through it or just be annoyed for his stubbornness and pride, because maybe a quick trip to the IL and he wouldn't be hitting like this, because it definitely had to. It can't be coincidental. I mean, I have to give credit. If it was
same thing with the Lindor, same thing with Lindor's toe.
That's true.
You can make the same argument that both of them had for the month of July. And thankfully for them, the month of July is now over as we're staring at August 1st here on this Friday morning. They are two of the worst hitters in all of baseball and all of the National League for the month of July, hitting under 200. And both of them, like you said, had minor little things, the toe of Lindor, the hit on the hand from Alonso. And I don't know if playing through it has impacted them, even if it's feeling better. Sometimes just playing through that injury and trying to avoid putting weight on a toe or avoid gripping a bat with his hand or whatever can put you into bad habits that are tough to get out of in a game like baseball.
I know, and you wonder if playing through is the best thing. Here's what I quickly want to say about the New York Giants, because I could not have agreed more with you about the whole Colts thing. Now, you and I are on opposite sides with baseball. I'm Mets, you're Yankees, but I'm a big Giants fan.
Yeah.
I'm the rare Mets-Giants crossover. But I think one of the biggest storylines of the 2025 Giants is a player that's not even on the team, and it's Cam Ward. Because that Colts game was Cam Ward, and the fact that the Giants, it came out that they did want to trade up for him, and they actually did like him, shows that if Cam Ward goes on to be a superstar, then I don't actually care what happens so much. And yet, Jacksonville better be good.
Well,
he's going to be compared to that to win a meaningless game. And nobody's telling the players to throw the game. But how did Brian Daboll and Joe Shane not sit down with Mara and say, look, we hope we're staying. We'd like to stay. We're going to play this quarterback.
I hear you, Dave. I get you. I don't want to get back into the tank thing right now. I thought you were going to have a quick comment about the Giants. I appreciate you, man. And thank you for calling. We have plenty of time for that. I'm going to get back to the baseball calls. But you know how I feel in the tank. And it's not just quarterback versus quarterback. It's Ward versus Abdul Carter as well. We got to be fair because they wouldn't have Carter. And it sounds like he's going to be a defensive force. So let's just let that play out. But I agree with you. If Cam Ward turns out to be an MVP and a top quarterback in this league, we're going to sit back and rue the day they won that Colts game. But that's a different. We don't have to do that. And the best thing about Giants football moving forward is I don't have to worry about that. There is no tank in this year, I promise you. All the people who hate me for my tank take, no worries this year. There will be no tanking. Raul in Manhattan. What's up, Raul?
Hey, Big Mac, what's going on, man?
What's up, brother? How are you? Fine.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Listen, man, I'm very impressed with both baseball teams, what they did during the trading deadline and everything.
Yep.
But I have a couple of comments. I saw the game today. Yerry De Los Santos
was lights out
nasty. He was like carefree the way he threw the ball. I think he could be used as an emergency starter. Okay. Also, the Yankees should really keep Hedrick as another left-handed option relief pitcher because all the pitchers they got were right-handed. And they need like a couple of long relievers. I think De Los Santos.
Well, De Los Santos is
to stay.
Well, De Los Santos has already been sent down.
Well, because he pitched today.
Correct.
Three
he might be
right.
back. You're right. I'm not saying that he's gone forever, but he has been sent down along with Ian Hamilton. Those are the two moves. Now they added three relievers, so there's one more move coming. And the other thing about the deadline is. And the moves, Bird has options as well as control. So theoretically, Bird, who had a very good start to his season, has not been as good in July. He's more of a spin it guy. The other guys come at you and throw power fastballs and try and strike you out and get swing and miss. He's a little bit more, his curveball's good. He spins it a little bit. He's had a miserable month of July. So that's the question. What's the other move? They've acquired three relievers. They've sent down two in Ian Hamilton and De Los Santos. Now, I agree with you. De Los Santos has been sent down maybe not just exclusively, but certainly because of the amount of pitches he threw and how he's not going to probably be available for another day or two. So they want to, you know, that happens all the time in baseball. And he did pitch very well. And, hey, sending him down to the minors and beginning a process of stretching him out to maybe be someone who can make starts for them, it's not the worst idea in the world. I don't know. We'll see. But right now he's down, and Ian Hamilton, who's had a miserable year, stretches in certain games where he produced, but for the most part, completely inconsistent, can't count on him at all. He's been a part of this bullpen over the last handful of years. He's just been a shell of himself. So he's now down in the minors. The only question is there's one more bullpen arm that has to go. And then when they get Leiter and Cruz back, two more bullpen arms who have to go. So there is still figuring out exactly what the eight-man bullpen is going to look like as they head down the stretch and into the postseason. You're not going to have to worry about Cruz for a little bit. Hopefully Leiter is around the corner. So there's some still figuring out the pecking order and who's going to be in the bullpen and who's not. But I agree with you with Hendricks. He's been really good the last several outings. And they don't have another bullpen arm lefty except Tim Hill. But overall, just, and I haven't even mentioned Hill, think of the names now at the back end of this bullpen and what it was. They were forced to throw guys like Loaisiga, who haven't been himself. They were forced to throw guys like Ian Hamilton at the back end. They were forced to throw Brubaker. They were forced to do these things. Now look at the back end of the bullpen. You have Williams, you have Weaver, you have Duvall, you have David Bednar, and you have Tim Hill. You have five arms that you really trust. Now, they've got to get in Yankee uniforms and show that, but those are legitimate arms. There are five legitimate guys that you would feel good about pitching at any point, in any circumstance, against any part of the lineup, everywhere from the sixth inning on. Like, where any of those situations for Ian Hamilton scared the crap out of you. Jonathan Loaisiga scares the crap out of you. Brubaker, you know, scare the crap out of you. Those are the arms they were throwing out there. De Los Santos, up until the last couple outings, scared the crap out of you. So, like, they didn't have real legitimate options. Now there are five guys that at any point, sixth inning on, fifth inning on with a lead, in any situation, you feel good going to. That's completely different. And I didn't even mention Bird, who they made the trade for. And if he, you know, if he comes here and gets back to the way he was pitching early on in the season, get the hell out of, you know, Coors Field and start to feel better and get thrust into a pennant race, you could be talking about six arms you feel good. Because he's a legitimate bullpen arm. So, I mean, that's a completely different bullpen. Brian Cashman has completely reshaped the entire bullpen. Andre in the Bronx. What's up, Andre?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, listen. You know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, you know, and I'm telling you, they did not get a star. You know, he got seven people,
yep,
and what they failed to do was get a star. Now, you may say that they didn't give up much and they got under control, and I'm glad about what they did. And, you know, if you got a bullpen, then, you know, Aaron Boone has to be able to know when to have a short hook and use it. So is he going to be able to use it to his ability to make a big difference? I don't know. But they failed to get a starter, right?
Yes.
And they didn't get a star back, right? So when Aaron Judge comes back, right, let's say he comes back and he's somewhat whatever, maybe he'll end up hitting 50 home runs, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you know, this American League is very winnable.
Yeah.
And they're going to be in it, you know, they're going to be in it right to the end. But I'm not so convinced that this is going to work.
Well, what's the matter? The offense has been great. What's the problem with the offense? They didn't need to add a star to the offense. The offense leads the American League run scored. You know, Cody Bellinger right now is carrying the baseball team. You could argue he's in the MVP conversation. That's how good Cody Bellinger's been. You got Giancarlo Stanton, who kills it in the postseason. He's got a 900 OPS right now. He just hit another bomb yesterday. Like, I don't know what you expect. You look around Major League Baseball, who's got, like, you know, the Dodgers have, Mookie Betts isn't the same player he's been this year, but I'll let you, he's granted, give you that. But, like, where are the, well, how many lineups have better lineups and better guys than the Yankees do?
Well, Like I said, this is the year that they could go back to the World Series, right? Even with this group,
yeah.
If Aaron Boone uses this bullpen on these people the way he should, then it looks like a great trade. But, you know, Aaron Boone has a way of leaving people in too long. Like, you know, he has no inner vision as to when to have that short hook. So
yeah.
If he doesn't use these people the right way, you know, what you going
to
do?
Well, I mean, of course, but that goes to any – I mean, listen, they've all done that. Name a manager who hasn't done that. Kevin Cash, right? They just played the Rays. Oh, everyone loves Kevin Cash. What, he took out Snell in the World Series. It cost them. Like, of course, the manager's got to do a good job. I know I disagree with many people. I don't think that's a – I really don't have that much of a fear of Aaron Boone with that. He's got legitimate guys to go to right now. Like, if these guys don't perform, it's on them. Like, he's got to be willing to go to any one of these guys. Like, he's going to have to do that. And clearly, with the rest of the rotation not being what it is in the postseason, he's going to do that if they get to the postseason. I'm not overly concerned about that. I know many Yankee fans are. We could just talk in circles about that. There's really no definitive, I say yes, you say no. You say hi, I say low. Like, we could just have that conversation, but that's just in practice. We're talking about the roster. Is the bullpen significantly better? The answer is yes. And if you say they didn't add a star, now look, Bednar has been up and down. Last year was a bad year for him. He went down to the minor leagues. This year, he's pitching to a 2.37 ERA. I believe he's 17 for 17 in save situations. He's got 51 strikeouts in 38 innings, which is a 12 Ks per nine. Like, he's one of the better relievers in baseball this year. I believe he had a stretch of 23 scoreless appearances. Like, is he a superstar? No, but he's a very good closer. He's a very good relief pitcher. That is a legitimate arm. Is it Mason Miller? No. Is it as good as Duran in with Minnesota, who got moved? Maybe not. No. To Philadelphia? Maybe he's been better. But, I mean, you're talking about a legitimate arm there. And the same thing with Duvall. He's had moments where he was incredible, and he throws 100 miles an hour. Like, and as far as the offense, I could not, I'll be totally honest with you, I think they handled the offense exactly the way they should have. You always want more. You always want stars. I get that. They needed a sound defensive third baseman who can play. And I don't care what anybody says. Again, he's got to do it for longer than just a couple days here. But look at McMahon. That's not a significant upgrade to what they were throwing out there. I mean, come on, watch him play the game. The dude's a baseball player. And, you know, sometimes that there's an effect there. And I know the splits between Coors and the road are significant. Look, a lot of their best players are like that because the ball moves differently there. It's not just that it's, oh, the higher altitude and the ball travels further so the home runs are better and all this stuff. It's also the breaking balls and stuff look different. They have different shapes. They move like it's easier to hit, yes, but it's also like, all right, so this is what a breaking ball looks like at home, and then I go on the road, and oh, my God, it's so much significantly better. Like, it's hard. Like, if he sees the significant breaking ball over and over again, he'll get better with it. Like, we've seen that a lot with guys. There's a real issue for hitters. Yes, it improves their numbers in Coors Field, but there is an effect where it makes them worse on the road. Not just, oh, he's great. Look at how bad he is on the road, but so it's all propped up by his numbers in Coors Field. It's not just that. It's that Coors Field makes them worse hitters on the road. And he's coming in here doing a great job. They have a bunch of options now against left-handed pitching, which has been a major problem for them. They've got speed. They've got depth. They've got guys who can play multiple positions. They've got a guy now in Caballero who can step in and give Volpe some days off. And the offense is proving it to you right now. Again, they got to do it more than just a handful of games. But they've played six games without Aaron Judge. They've won four. They've scored runs. They've rallied back. They've hit home runs off closers. Like, the offense is showing you that they're capable even without Aaron Judge. Now, not long term. I think we all understand they need Aaron Judge and into the playoffs. And that's going to be the biggest thing moving forward. Now that the team is shaped, after we're done talking about the trade line today, Saturday's show, we get into the baseball season yet again, and now this is just the New York Yankees and this is just the New York Mets. But as far as the Yankees, like, when we just get into it, the biggest question is, when can Judge come back and when can he play right field? And is that plausible? And is it worth the risk of possibly injuring him further? Because they need his bat. And then what becomes of Giancarlo Stanton? Because can he literally, can he actually play the outfield? Because look at him. Like, Giancarlo Stanton over the last, I don't know, 20 games, 25 games, again, short sample size. But after having like 2 weeks from when he first came back, just being lost at the plate, which is his usual coming back from injury, since he found his swing with that home run in Toronto, dude's a beast. It's one of the best stretches of his Yankee tenure, what he's doing right now. So, I mean, that's the you don't want to take him out of the lineup, and you need him healthy and producing in the postseason. So it's going to be an interesting juggling match. By no means are the Yankees perfect. By no means are the Yankees now the best team in the American League, or that they're, you know, or favorite to win it. They haven't earned that. They haven't played well enough. But I can just tell you that the team that we saw for the last month of lousy baseball looks completely different starting tomorrow or later today. That's just a fact. And Brian Cashman's done a great job. Now, they got to go out there and make it work. But I don't know how you could tell me Brian Cashman didn't do a good job today. Like, I just don't know how you could tell me that. Or that this roster doesn't feel significantly better. The bullpen's good. The bench is good. You got legitimate players like Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger is unbelievable. I got a million, you know, Met fans mad at me because a caller called up and suggested that he's been more impactful than Juan Soto. And he has been. Deal with it. Juan Soto's the better player. If I was starting a team tomorrow, I'd rather have Juan Soto. We all know that. But just the sheer impact on how important they've been and how many games they've won with big hits, like, it's just, sorry, Met fans, he's been more impactful to the Yankees. That might change from today on, but it's just been the case this year. I mean, how great has he been? Again, today gets the scoring started. Like, he's just been everything for them. You look at him, you look at what Ben Rice is doing, you look at what Trent Grisham's doing with the big home runs. Like, sorry. Like, if you don't think this is a team that can compete for a championship in this Major League Baseball as the teams are presented today and in this American League, I just completely disagree with you. Paul in White Plains, what's up, Paul?
Yeah, listen, I totally agree with you. I think that under the circumstances, Cashman did everything he could do to bring this team along.
Yep.
And to add to the bullpen. But we're thinking about pitching.
Yes.
And a name occurred to me, and I just I spoke to your partner there. Whatever happened to Ryan Yarbrough?
He's hurt. He's been dealing with an oblique injury, and because of his age, I think it's taking him a long time to heal. So we haven't heard a lot of updates on him. But they do anticipate him coming back. I just don't know what under what role. I guess they would try and throw him back into the rotation because he had an incredible run as a starting pitcher.
That's what I was thinking. And, I mean, you thinking about another starting pitcher, there's your boy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, with the rotation as it is right now, Paul, I could see that. But Will Warren has pitched really well. You got to give Luis Gil a legitimate run here. Like, you can't just, like, give Luis Gil a couple of starts, even if he's pitching poorly, and go, well, you know, Luis Gil's not going to do it this year. You got to give him significant run. And as much as we all, you know, have our issues with Marcus Stroman, he's most, you know, I think only other than one start against Philadelphia, his last start out, like, since coming back from the injury, he's at the bare minimum giving the Yankees a really good chance to win a baseball game every time out. So I don't know. Like, Ryan Yarbrough would have to come back and prove he's worthy of a start. But it's not like I'm waiting for Ryan Yarbrough. Some might wait for Godot. I don't know if I'm waiting for Ryan Yarbrough. But no doubt, if this rotation takes a turn for the worse, if Luis Gil, you know, God forbid, re-injures himself or isn't good coming back, or, you know, the wheels fall off Marcus Stroman like we've seen many times before, then yeah, Ryan Yarbrough can be a big impact to this team. Is he someone I'm looking for, like, to count on in postseason starts? No. If that happens, great, but it's not someone I'm like, oh, once they get Ryan Yarbrough back, then they have their answer for who's the fourth starter in the postseason. Like, I don't feel that way. Eric in Allentown. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. So I just wanted to talk about the Mets a little bit.
Sure.
You know, I just felt that, I mean, obviously they have a great team, but to compete with the Dodgers and frankly the Padres, they're going to need more starting pitchers. And, you know, I know it's hard to get that at the deadline because, you know, they're so valuable and, you know, yeah. You need to just give a lot to get them. But, you know, do you see anyone that they could maybe sign in free agency this offseason? Because I would love to see them win the World Series. And, you know,
you're worried about next offseason already?
No, but, like, I mean, I feel like they have a shot this postseason because everybody has a shot. But
yeah.
At the same time, like,
well,
do feel like they're going to be at a disadvantage when they play the Dodgers. I mean, Cease was just killing, you know, the Padres pitchers were just killing them this past
year. Yeah, I mean, I get you. Cease didn't get moved. A lot of the starting pitchers didn't get moved. Ryan didn't get moved. Cease didn't get moved. Alcantara didn't get moved. Like, a lot of the starting pitchers, you know, Bieber, the Toronto Blue Jays are taking a chance on a former Cy Young Award winner in Bieber. Like, it just wasn't there for them. It same thing with the Yankees. They desperately wanted a starting pitcher. The asks were too high for starting pitchers. No, and not a lot got moved. As far as the disadvantage, look, I think the Mets have really good starting pitching to a degree where right now you just don't have confidence in them to give you innings. Now, that might change moving forward. Now, you know, the more Manaea starts under his belt, Manaea is not someone who can't go 100 pitches or can't be effective late into the game. We've seen that at times. He's coming back from, you know, missing 3 months of the season. And he's on some sort of pitch count a little bit. And they're just taking it easy with him. We'll see if those innings progress. Same thing with Kodai Senga coming back from a hamstring injury. And clearly he's dealt with injuries the last 2 years. So you may be being a little bit precautious with him. Peterson is a guy who can give you innings, and then you get to Clay Holmes and Montas. That's your main concern. But you look at the actual, you know, quality of the starting pitching. I'll take those top three against, man, one of those mornings I got to clear my throat every 10 seconds. I'll take those top three against, you know, almost any other top three, you know, in baseball. That's like Senga's, when he pitches, he's been really good. Manaea has really turned his career around here with the Mets, and Peterson's been one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. The back end of it, yeah, now you're starting to get a little shaky with it, but now the innings limits and the pitching doesn't bother you as much because you've just added to the bullpen. So I'm not overly concerned. We got to see it in practice. Like, it's just getting underway. So we'll see how this Met rotation and bullpen go moving forward, but right now the innings is an issue. I'm hoping that changes for the New York Mets. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 12:55, quick break, update with Gordon. We'll come back, take your calls the rest of the way. We got other things to do. Knicks make a signing, an extension. We'll get to that. The New York Giants' first opponent has an issue at the wide receiver department. We'll get to that. A lot of things going on. A crazy New York trade deadline. One of the most impactful for both teams we have seen possibly ever. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Update. We'll be right back.